All right, welcome to Mountain West Connection Show. Here we're getting
started. I hear you.
Hold on, let me. I can edit this out. Let's restart this out. That was ridiculous.
Really? Because I thought that was perfect.
It was. No. Let's. I haven't brought it. All right, let's start again.
Get up in the evening feeling like Craig Thompson. Grab my laptop, set up my mic. I'm gonna rant and rave some before I record. Grab a glass of Coke and Jack, cause when we begin recording, I know I'm not refilling that. Talking, previewing all the games, analyzing stats and plays, laughing, poking fun at names. Jeremy reads and quotes Phil Steele zine, pulling up numbers and reads, starting to get a bit off topic, see? What? Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the games not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're biased against your team and we make that clear. Don't get paid, don't ever fade, cause we're already here. Talk about hoops and football, cause we got all the swagger. Sometimes guests come on the show, but we never have Mick Jagger. All the writers cramping up, Matt's throwing his arms up, Kyle's got all the funny stuff. We go until SBN shuts us down, or the Mountain West hunts us down. Mountain West shuts us down, nobody's gonna shut us down. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Welcome into the Mountain West Connection show here as we try to do our best to not screw things up, but that's usually what happens here. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. Facebook, Mountain West Connection. Let's see if we can get to 2,000 likes. That'd be nice. What are we at? MWC Connection on Twitter. Jeremy Moss here with Chris Andres. And we're attempting to do a week one preview Sunday night. Stressful on the attempting part.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. We stop using Blog Talk Radio, and all of a sudden this stuff comes up, and we're just like, oh, yeah, you know, totally. Blah, blah, blah. No, it's... We can't win. We can't win whatever we do.
No, we're going to win because we're going to record once a week from the studio. I work here in Utah, and it'll sound great. Once a week, it'll be perfect. As I say that now, I'll have issues when we try to do that next week.
I was about to say, you're going to break the whole damn system.
I'll break the radio station or something.
You're an ass. All right.
Well, I did get a, since we talked about Blog Talk Radio, I don't know who listened there, but I don't know if this is emailed just to me. Because I got a lot of feedback on Twitter from them. Hey, email us, give us a call or whatever to fix. I don't know if the email is personalized to me or is just to whoever, but it's a long email for somebody to charge. Sorry, this works well. We're going away from our beta for good audio quality. I replied, like, sorry, too little, too late, man.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Just we tried you three times over. None of those times did we have it just absolutely perfect or even remotely perfect. And so, done. It's reasonable.
Yeah, every other week, can't have an issue. But we're here. Week one. First of all, I assume you watched on Saturday's game, correct?
What?
Did you see some of Saturday's game this past week?
Yeah, hashtag stit happens.
You see, that's what Dana Holgerson did after victory. I'll admit, it was late at night, so I watched like the first quarter and a half. I knew it was a close game, so I just fast-forwarded to the best part from 7 minutes on the third quarter till the end, which was the perfect time when you see the turnovers, the 90-second drive to win the game for Montana. Did you know, without looking, I was doing the lines for today's game or for a post. Only three games are listed having given odds. Do you know how much North Dakota State was favored on the road in this game as number one FCS team?
For that game?
Yeah, do you know?
I want to say they were favored by 10.
16 points. Road favorite, 16.
Are you kidding me?
This could have been Wyoming. This could have been your head coach, guys.
Well, I think it was did Stitt actually interview for that job?
He was, I believe, he was a finalist. He was close consideration.
Or we could say, you know what, UNLV.
Yeah, that too.
God, could you imagine UNLV opening up? Because now we're going to be talking about these games momentarily. But could you imagine UNLV had hired Bob Stitt instead of Tony Sanchez? Which I think Tony Sanchez is a great hire for the program, by the way. But just – and then just go on the road and just utterly decimate a better rival.
It's – the offense, like, we know – here's the thing. Montana always has good talent, so there's a little bit of – expected to do well in this game versus North Dakota State, but looking with they had Brett, who was on the call, Musburger and Jesse Palmer, they're going through some just stats about North Dakota State. They average, I think, they gave up like 12 points a game last year, and this is week one. This is with these guys having not even 30 total practices under this offense from spring to fall. And look how well they did get against probably the best defense in FCS and probably a top 100 defense FBS. At least.
Oh, yeah. No. Their defense, North Dakota State as a team, FBS or FCS, they would rank as a mid to upper FBS team.
They got votes in the AP poll occasionally. Kansas. Who have they beat? They beat Kansas. Not that that's anything special, but they've beat,
they beat Kansas State.
Kansas State. They hosted game day before. I know this isn't the FCS show, but to start the season the way it did, it's like, come on, thank you. We have a great game.
They're giving us high standards to follow.
Yeah, I'm just thinking during that game, man, Wyoming could have this, UNLV, you're right. Not that I think Craig Bull and Tony's, I'm coming around more to the Tony Sanchez hire. I just still, because he's been ever in Vegas. He makes you want to, he pumps you up when you hear him talk about the program. Because I was on, who was it with? I was in Hawaii radio. I'm on there every now and then in the morning. Was it Bobby, Paul, whatever it is? It's ESPN 1420 in Hawaii. And I've been on like a couple times the past month just chatting about whatever. And like we were discussing, I lost my train of thought. What was I going to say? Yeah, well, Tony Sanchez. Yeah. We were discussing. He brought up that look at the prior coaches at UNLV. They've been not open to media. They've been trying to keep everything tight-lipped, but DC Sanchez having a party, essentially. He's outgoing. He wants to invite people to the program. He's basically not making a party, but he's being accessible and having fun being the head coach. He doesn't feel as it's a burden and needing to hide and then crap on the program on their way out when they get fired. It doesn't seem like this will be the case at all.
No, and here's the thing about Tony Sanchez, and I've got to bring this up. You have to remember that he hired good assistants around him. I'm going to go ahead and point to Kent Bear.
Mm-hmm.
So he's basically followed himself. Bob Stitt, remember, had head coaching experience, just not at the Division I level, but he knew how to run a program, and so he's brought his experimental stuff with him, and as we find out, it's already working.
Well, and it worked at – look at in West Virginia. They mentioned that fly sweep in the Orange Bowl, but his offense is picked up anywhere and everywhere because essentially, like what Bill Connolly said last year, one of their games on CBS Sports Network, his offense is essentially ghost town. You know it's there or there's something there, but you've never really seen it or you've seen bits and pieces of it and only seen the good stuff. So anytime Montana's on, I'm going to watch, but that offense could work anywhere. And we'll see what happens. But, yeah, Sanchez, he has the same thing from high school to FBS. It'll be interesting. But you were there in Vegas. Everybody's hyped about him. Everybody loves the guy.
Dude, everybody's so hyped. I'm going to go home. I'm going back to Vegas this weekend, by the way. For Labor Day, I get a small vacation. Totally.
There you go.
Perfect. But everybody, just that city is thriving.
And yet they still may win two games, and that'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
So, should we get to some games or should we do this list? One of our writers or frequent contributors in a fan posted. What do you think we should do first since we obviously prepare?
Let's Let's save. Let's save the prediction stuff for the end, because I think you and I could have some really fun.
Okay, we'll do that.
We actually never gave our prediction stuff, and that's kinda. What kind of alluding to. Let's go with the games first, because the games are really the important ones.
There's so many FCS games. We'll go through every team, but
there's a potential for an upset.
There's always a potential for an upset.
Actually, really, the only potential for an upset I see and for an upset from an FCS level.
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, yeah. So New Hampshire, San Jose State. UC Davis, Nevada, and then Southern Utah, Utah State. But let's go ahead and start talking.
I'm trying to get the schedule up here since my computer did not like to start the show.
You didn't do the helmet schedules from the FBS or from the FB schedules, football schedules?
I should just download it since I don't worry about internet with that. But no, I don't have that in front of me. I'm working on it now. What's this chronological order? Isn't it Utah State hosting Southern Utah's the very first game?
It's either that or it's Nevada, UC Davis.
Let's just go Southern Utah, Utah State. So,
okay,
we know I believe their core is there. As you can tell, we're widely well prepared for this show, but no, I'm thinking
I'm
isn't
well
the,
prepared. You're not.
I am not. I've had issues. Who's the starting quarterback for Southern Utah? Isn't it somebody who used to go to like BYU or Utah or something?
Yeah, it was the third string quarterback for BYU. Southern Utah actually poached him. After he came back from his mission, basically told him, hey, you could end up being third string for BYU or you could start automatically for us. Funny enough, I was actually talking with an SUU alum this weekend, so that's why I've been talking a lot about Southern Utah football. But the guy was actually a highly touted recruit. I think he was he's a three-star.
What's their name again? It's not Christian Stewart because he just graduated. I'm trying to – do you have the name in front of you? Yeah.
I don't remember. I'm gonna bring it up right now. Ammon Olson, is that his name?
Yeah, that sounds right. That would sound right. Yes,
yeah, Ammon Olson is the guy's name.
That poses some sort of threat a little bit to Utah State just because he's played in a Big Ten program, practice stuff like that. You know, he can do well. But here's the thing: what I want to see in this game, I got the schedule up here. That game, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, is that's also on the it's streaming on Campus Insiders, or Mountain West Network, one of the two. Check that out there. So it's not on regular old television. But what I want to see in this game is I want to see how good Chucky Keaton and Kyler Fack were all in this game. That's the most important things I want to see. The two key players both coming off similar injuries. I want to see what they can do, and I want to see who steps up for Utah State offensively, because Hunter Sharp's out this game and the more important game against Utah in a week and a half from Saturday. So I want to see who's going to step up, what wide receiver, how's the offense going to look with one of their key players gone. That's pretty much what I want to see and stay healthy, essentially.
Yeah, and so here's the thing. Here's the thing that Utah State can get a good jump on the season, especially defensively. You're playing against a Southern Utah team, and I talked about Ammon Olson, and I'm going to talk about it more because – this guy, he's a transfer from BYU, started last year, and basically lit up the offense for Southern Utah. Southern Utah had a pretty decent season last year. Obviously, the FCS doesn't work the same way as FBS, so you're not going to see their success translate to a bowl game. But they were one of the most efficient offenses in the Big Sky outside of Idaho State. They were more efficient than Montana last year, but remember, Montana didn't have Bob Stitt.
Well, so, Idaho State's also best the Hawaii poached their OC now, so.
Exactly. So here's a little bit about what Olson did last year. Played in all 12 games last season, had almost 70% completion rate, 3,049 yards and 21 touchdowns. Those were his quarterbacking stats.
What did he do against Fresno State?
What did he do against Fresno State last year?
Yeah, because they played each other last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right, huh?
I don't think he did very good.
No, I don't think he did great, but Fresno State didn't really did they destroy him last year?
It was a pretty good win. Zach Greenlee is now the starter. He actually
played. Starter?
We'll get to that in the game. We'll talk about how he's a starter, but there's still question marks in that game. I'm looking. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Utah State's going to win. Southern Utah will pose a small threat. But again, I want to see what receiver is going to step up with Chucky Keaton, how Chucky looks. I want to see how comfortable he is, how he throws off, if he's not wearing a brace. I want to see if he rolls out, how much they have him run, how many designed runs he has. That's kind of what I want to see. Because this is a big difference from opening up against Tennessee last year to playing Southern Utah this year. But that Tennessee game, he looked awful. And even against Idaho State last year they played, he didn't look that great early on. He looked pretty good versus Vanderbilt until he hurt his knee at the end of the half. So I want to see what he can do right out of the gate.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What exactly, anything particular you want to see about this game?
I got the stats real quick. Olsen finished with 309 yards in that Fresno State game.
Okay, pretty good.
And two touchdowns. So, one thing I really want to see with the Southern Utah or with the Utah State team is I want to see with Sharp gone, right? With Hunter Sharp gone, JoJo Natson gone. Who's getting the ball from Chucky Keaton? Who's going to be the next guy to step it up?
They have some junior college guys, but I don't know who will step up. I want to see, like, there's quite a few guys that have the opportunity, but I don't know who that will be.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we're completely unsure of that. So I think Utah State wins. I think they're going to be it's going to be a 20-point victory. It's not going to be close, but it's a good start.
And with this weekend, don't complain or comment about all these FCS games. I don't expect to, and I'm pretty sure you won't either. We're not going to watch every game streaming. I'm going to check into a lot of the games, especially the FCS one, just to kind of see how they're doing. I'm not going to spend the whole night watching Utah State, Southern Utah. Honestly, I'm going to be watching Utah versus Michigan most likely Thursday night because that's the game to watch.
You know what I'm going to be watching Thursday night? We'll get to it in a minute.
Okay.
So next game, Nevada versus UC Davis. So this game actually has potential for upset.
You think so?
I think so. I think Taylor Stewart has been named the starter.
Mm-hmm.
But Nevada is really – nobody knows too much about Nevada. It's kind of like if they make a –
they got Don Jackson, Hassan Henderson. That's a pretty good offensive start right there.
Right, but that being said, I mean, what else do they have?
Ian Sayal?
Well, like I said, okay, let's go to the let's
give me something I'll counter back at you every time.
Let's not talk about defense because I think their strong point is the linebacking core,
mm-hmm.
and it has been for a while. I'm talking from an actual, from an actual perspective of like, what expectations for these team? Like, how is this team going to basically make a bowl game? We talked about this, right?
We did.
And we had Daniel on last week who said they were probably going to go 6-6. And Brandon Blake, I believe, also said 6-6. Or actually, no, Blake said 7-5.
Whatever, bowl game's coming. Bowl game's coming. That's essentially what people are getting at.
Yeah. But if they struggle against UC Davis, now that I'm looking it up, UC Davis was abysmal last year. They were good 2 or 3 years ago, but last year they were just absolutely awful.
I want to see how Tyler Stewart does in the offense and how much Henderson gets involved. Well, not even Henderson. I want to see the running game because the running attack, ever since Cody Fajardo left and Chris Holt left, running game has just been okay, nothing impressive, in my opinion, to what it has been over the past decade. Because every year they had multiple 1,000-yard rushers. And not multiple. Like year one, year two, year three. I'm talking 2 to 3 1,000-yard rushers every year. They've had a year where they have three guys go over 1,000 yards.
And so here's the other thing. So, absolutely. And so here's the other thing. Nevada had a problem starting and getting their offense fully clicking.
Look at the bowl game last year versus in the New Orleans Bowl. Terrible.
Well, look at the season opener versus look at the season opener versus Southern Utah last year. It was 28-7, and then all of a sudden, or no, not 28-7. Like it was like 19-7. Southern Utah was up, and then the second half, Nevada kind of just completely got going.
Well, then
they didn't put them away. They just let them hang around.
Then look at the Arizona game. They started off with 2 field goals and lost by, I think, 8 points.
Yeah.
They went touchdown for touchdown.
For Nevada to be successful, they have to start hot. And so that's going to be what I'm curious to see is how hot do they start?
And they should. They'll win fine. I can see. Yeah, you're right. I don't want to see them. They need to be ahead. For me, if they're ahead by 10 points at halftime, that's good enough. But I don't want to see them trail at all. But they need to be like.
If this team's only up by 7 points mid third quarter, you can guarantee I'm going to be watching on upset alert.
Yeah, yeah. For me to be comfortable, don't trail at all and be up by at least 10 points at halftime. And then incrementally increase that to win by about 17 points at least.
Exactly.
And I'd be comfortable with that. So that is also, that's what, 8 p.m. Mountain Time Thursday night as well. And then we got what, 5? Here's what the schedule is. We got 5 Thursday games, 1 Friday, 6 Saturday games. So playing your evening accordingly. And then we got Abilene Christian, Fresno State.
Let's make this quick because Abilene Christian is nothing to write home about.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Quarterback.
Georgia State did win their first FBS game against Abilene Christian University.
Good job. Quarterback situation. You mentioned it is Zach Greenlee. However, Tim Drudner and OC Dave Stram want to play multiple quarterbacks in this game.
Oh, God.
The quarterback is alive.
Fresno State's going to learn by 10, aren't they?
Win by 10. No, they're going to win because here's how they're going to win. There's going to be some sort of a defensive touchdown to put them up by 10 points to win. Like, it'll be Abilene Christian's in range, like field goal range to tie the game, but there'll be some sort of defensive touchdown to win by 10.
and in this game, right, the quarterbacks are going to throw 0 touchdowns and probably about 2 picks. And it's going to be Martez Waller once again, who we didn't mention very often in this offseason.
Sorry, he carried
Fresno State last season.
Yeah, sorry, Ruffle.
Literally carried Fresno State last season. If Waller does not have 2 touchdowns,
here's the thing. Here's what I wanted. Like, you're right. They need to get him the ball to win. But it seems like they're not confident who their quarterback is. So it's like, are they going to just give the ball to Waller to let him run it loose, get 150 yards, a couple touchdowns, or do they want to treat this as sort of a scrimmage to see what quarterback they have, despite Greenlee officially named a starter, but there will be others auditioning for at least a backup spot. What they need to win, obviously, but I'm wondering if they're going to treat it like that so Waller's numbers may actually be less than what they should be.
Yeah, I don't know, and I'm not exactly sure how to answer that. I know that if Fresno State does have trouble this year, we'll get to my predictions later, but I feel that DeRuiter might be a little bit on the hot seat this year.
Interesting. That I can see that. It helps when you have 5 NFL guys your second year. That helps a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. So right. Fresno State by probably about 10.
Well, they'll win. It's fine. New Hampshire, San Jose State. This is one of the very few games that's not even on local TV. Nothing. Come on.
And this one has super potential for upset potential.
Is New Hampshire ranked in the FCF polls? Do you know?
I can tell you right now.
We should be more prepared for these shows.
Nobody knows. Look, only. I got a nice compliment last week. Saying that I was more knowledgeable about football than anybody that person has ever met. And that person happened to be a former coach.
Awesome.
So I feel pretty good about myself.
We should stop saying we don't prepare and just go with like we are prepared. Because if we act like
Hampshire's ranked 7th.
Ooh.
This is totally going to be an upset.
Here's the thing. We chatted in our private chat earlier with everybody, and they're talking about upset alert, which it could happen. Let me ask you this. If you have their stats up, what's their average running attack for New Hampshire?
let's see here. Stats.
As you're getting that, but here's the thing. Chris will look up that, but San Jose's offense, it's their starting quarterback is not officially named yet. We'll have an article up in the morning about their depth chart and things. It's got to be Blake Jurek. It has to. I think he's going to – or excuse me, not Blake, as last year, Joe Gray. I assume it's going to be him starting. But they're going to keep it close because I think Carragher last year made the mistake of announcing his quarterback on Monday for a Friday – for a Saturday game. But they have weapons in offense. Tyler Irvin's there. They have a couple – he plays running back, wide receiver combo. They have talent on offense. But I think we talked about before. Offense will be okay, but the defense – oh man, rush defense is terrible.
Yeah, they are not good.
Do you have those numbers yet? Did I stall enough for you?
No, because FCS would not. Apparently, they do not rank in the top 50 for rushing numbers, nor do they rank in the top 50 for passing numbers. So I'm wondering how they were so damn good.
Guess what? They will after week one. Top 50 rushing offense in FCS. sorry.
I'm really curious to see because, like, if it's, you know, if there are decent numbers, you know, okay, we'll say it. But, I mean, if they average, like, 200-something odd yards last year. Okay, so on average, yeah, this team only averaged 138 rushing yards last year.
How did – is their defense good or something?
Holy hell! Okay. So
– what'd you find?
So – on average, New Hampshire scored 36 points a game. They only gave up 21 points a game.
Okay.
Their rushing yards. Oh my God. So that's first downs. Okay, so their rushing average per game was about 170. Their passing yards per game was 269.
Just okay.
Both of those are okay. It's nothing to write home about. So then where the hell are they just such a dumb? Well, there you go. How about – wow, okay.
Special teams?
14 interceptions last year. 16 fumbles, forced fumbles.
Is this our stupid upset pick of the week? Should we make this official every week? We actually write it down and keep track?
No, you can – this can be your stupid upset, but I'm not sure if this is going to be a stupid upset or not.
I already know your stupid upset pick because it's the same team every year, every week.
Or it couldn't be.
We'll see. I want to see – what we want to see in this game, I want to see if the rush defense – I don't care who they're playing. It's so terrible. Sorry, I know people say we should be more positive, but the rush defense, I want to see improvement and give up under 4 yards a carry if possible in this game.
You know what? I'm confident San Jose State will win.
They probably will, but
– It's going to be close. I think it only will be under a touchdown.
They need to get – Irvin involved, all these guys involved who they have offensively, but it's they should win. I'm not confident they'll win, but they should win. That's what I want to see. And I want to see red zone efficiency. I want to see them get in the red zone and score touchdowns. That's what I want to see if it'll happen. This is a 7 p.m. local kick. Follow them on Twitter, I guess, if you want to figure out what's going on. Next game. This game's on TV. I don't know who's going to watch this. It's 1 a.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific, Colorado at Hawaii, CBS Sports Network. Why is this game?
This is going to be my favorite game on Thursday night, by the way.
It is so late. Why is it so late?
Because it is in Hawaii. Hey, did you ever get a response from Robert Kekaula?
He did not respond to my apologies.
Oh, I'm so sad now.
So am I.
I really feel bad.
Me too. We emailed right before, and I feel sorry. I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed. It's ridiculous. It shouldn't happen. And I just kind of told him what the deal was, and I told him I don't want to make it difficult for you to call in. So maybe another time if you're up to it and want to entrust us or something along those lines. But we could have done Google Plus something. But I didn't want to make it difficult. I'm like, if you can't just call the phone number, it's too much hassle, and he's doing us a favor hopping on, so I don't want to make it difficult for him. So we'll see.
But anyway, you know why it's going to be the best game on Thursday night?
Twitter, CFB Twitter at night.
Not just because CFB Twitter, but also because our favorite announcer ever is going to be announcing the game.
Wait, for CBS he is?
Oh shoot, it's on CBS.
Yeah, CBS Sports Network.
Oh, I'm not going to watch it on CBS. I'm going to watch it the Hawaii channel.
They don't. Not every game's on Hawaii. Not every game's on TV there, is it?
It has to be.
No, but if it's a national game, it's on that feed.
Right, right. But there's always a local channel.
No, not always anymore.
Are you kidding me?
I know if it's ever on Root Sports or streaming, it's always Robert. It's Robert there calling the game. But if it's on CBS or ESPN or anything else, it's whoever they call for the game. I don't know if the announcers have been set up, but let's go to the Hawaii website right now and check. But I'm pretty confident it's just whoever CBS sends out, like Aaron Taylor or whoever.
Because, you know, on the Oceanic Time Warner Sports Network.
Exactly. No. Nope.
Glad he didn't show up last week is because I feel like I would offend him with my impersonation. Oh, look, the way I look at it, impersonation is the sincerest form of flattery.
It is. It's correct. So this game, do you know the line of this game?
It started out that Hawaii was favored by 7, and I think now Colorado's favored by 2.5.
Actually, the other way around. You're close. Close enough. I'll give you credit. Hawaii was basically home field at 2.5. Now it's a 7-point favorite for CU, which...
That's... No. Then you could call this as my stupid upset pick. Hawaii's going to win this.
You think Max Wittig's the real deal? You're buying into the hype?
Part of that, yes. And the other part of it is this. Colorado as a team last year was 2-10. Mike McIntyre is on the hot seat. He's got to be winning games. And we know he's a program rebuilder. But here's the thing. This is your fourth season, right? Third or fourth season?
He stayed at San Jose State for 2 years. So I think this is year three. Year three, fam.
This is year three. He's got to win some games. If he doesn't, I'm pretty sure that's the short leash calling.
Well, they got close last year.
They got close last year, but you're going to have a team who did absolutely horribly last year, and they're going to fly out to easily one of the most difficult places to play, not because the team's good, but because the atmosphere is just so random, and it's hard to get out there. From Colorado, from San Diego, the flight to Hawaii was 5 hours. It's going to be 7 hours from Denver.
Are they taking it nonstop from Denver to Hawaii?
Well, you're probably going to be stopping in LAX, but if you're laying over, that's still more steps that you have to take. These kids will be exhausted when they play. And if the conditions are right, Hawaii plays that to their advantage.
Because that'll be 11 p.m. Mountain Kick time. And with it being a Thursday game, they're not going to show up Monday to get acclimated. So they're probably going to be showing up. I bet what they may do, a Tuesday morning flight and get there Tuesday night, or maybe even do an overnight red-eye type deal and get there Wednesday morning.
Okay, but still, you have to deal with jet lag, and then you have to play a game.
Well, correct. Like, if this was a game that was normal time, like even – well, it'd be good to get that time, but it's –
Even last year when Washington played at Hawaii, 7 o'clock Hawaii time, 10 o'clock Pacific time – it's still reasonable to be playing a football game, especially if you start at 7 or 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like here, I apologize for you, but it's CBS Sports Network only, not pay-per-view at all, and Time Warner Oceanic.
Bastards.
He might do the radio call. I'm not sure sometimes with Bobby, whoever, that guy I'm on with all the time. I forget his name. But, yeah, this is a game. Colorado, it's like with UNLV. I don't trust them until they can win, and they're not winning yet. And I think Hawaii has the better quarterback, even though Colorado throws the ball reasonably well. Colorado, I don't want to say it's just Colorado. It doesn't seem like we've done any research looking at the team, but why would we trust them to be – like, I'm not saying Colorado can't win because, look, they won last year. They made big plays with I believe they had a punt return touchdown and kept holding Hawaii to field goals. So they're doing something right. But I'm wondering if Hawaii – assuming if Norm Chell has the guy there and their new OC from Idaho State, that could be the difference maker in this being a victory for Hawaii. Because Norm Chell, anytime he's in LA, Southern California, Phoenix for the Mountain West meetings, raving about Max Wittick, how great he is, how awesome he is, how good this team will be this year. And who knows if he's just talking hyperbole, or he needs to, or he really believes that, but he's probably over exaggerating a bit. But
you think he's the second coming of Timmy Chang?
Possibly. That would be pretty good. But here's the thing, Norm Chally's no dummy. Look who he's coached at quarterback. Multiple Heisman Trophy winners. He's won multiple national titles. He's coached, geez, you got Ty Detmer, Heisman winner, Philip Rivers.
Here's the thing also. I saw Wittick play live his freshman or sophomore year when they played against Utah State. That was the game where Utah State went out to USC and Chucky was playing.
Yeah.
I was there to watch Chucky, but Wittick took over for Kessler, and he did pretty well.
Yeah. He's going to be good enough because even though people can make fun of Grandpa Norm, but he's coached. Like, I tell this every time. He's the only guy to ever make Vince Young be an above-average NFL quarterback. That's hard to do. And look what he did there in Tennessee. He was the reason USC is winning national titles, or winning how good they were with Reggie Bush, with Matt Leinart, there's all the quarterbacks they had. He was the reason they were doing well there and winning. Yeah, you got Pete Carroll. He's the great coach. But Steve Sarkisian and Lane Kiffin, look what they've done since they left USC. You could say the same thing about Norm Chow, but it was Norm Chow running the show there offensively. He's had some assistants who are really good position coaches who have yet to be really good head coaches, but pretty good OC, like really good OCs, like Lane Kiffin, Alabama. Sarkisian going from Washington, he did nothing special. USC?
Sarkisian brought the team back to bowl games.
Which team?
Washington. He was 7-win Sark because that was his feeling. But he got them out of that Tyrone Willingham junk place they were at.
All right, we'll give him credit for that, but I still don't think seeing him as a great head coach.
No, I don't think he is either. I just said he rebuilt well at Washington. So anyway, win or loss?
Oh, man. I think Hawaii, I'm going to go homer and say Hawaii's going to get a win because I'm going to buy into the hype. I'm buying into the hype because I think they're going to be close for a bowl contention this year. And this is a swing game. Like, I'm not going to be surprised if they win.
So is this your stupid upset pick, or was the last one your stupid upset pick?
No, I'll save that for later.
Oh, you're still saving it for later?
I know which one I'm going. You know which one I'm going with as well, but it's going to be not this one. There's only a couple of games that could really count.
You're not thinking of the same one I'm thinking of.
Of course I am.
Bull. All right. Anyway, I think Hawaii's going to win. I don't think it's a stupid upset pick. It's a nice upset pick. You get points if you play the stupid upset pick on EDSBS. But I think it's going to be an upset, and it's going to be a solid one.
So then why do you say that? Just because Colorado is so bad, or you think it's going to be Max Wittick to Marcus Kemp all day?
It's what I said earlier. I think Hawaii can honest to goodness, make a bowl game this year.
Oh, here, did you know this? I forgot about this, but there's an Air Force transfer who's going to be starting for Colorado.
Oh, really?
Oh, wait, crap. It refreshed on me. Jahlil Awini is going to be starting, but on defense.
Jahlil Awini is going to be starting for Colorado.
He's not their quarterback as he was at Air Force, but he's going to be an outside linebacker starting for them.
How does a quarterback turn into – you know what? I'm not going to bother.
I'm just saying.
So Awini is going to – That's still the funniest thing ever. So Awini is going to be playing linebacker for the Buffs.
Starting.
Yeah, I doesn't matter.
I'm not using that to sway your opinion. I'm just noticing that as I'm looking at the depth chart, but my page just had to crash on me. So I'm going to say Hawaii's going to win. I think they're going to get it done. They're getting – because here's what we've said about you. I say it all the time. Like, you and me have done this for so long. With UNLV's progression before their bowl game in the Dallas Bowl, they were getting blown out. Then not – bless you. Not getting blown out, then winning. And this is Hawaii's last year was – they had, what, six – multiple games under 10 points and even more within one touchdown or less.
And they were starting to get some of those wins more in place. I know, I totally understand. By the way,
you realize we've been doing this podcast for so long, we could still recall UNLV making a bowl game. but think about it. We've been doing this podcast together since at least 2010. Kudos to us. 5 years.
Something like that. We started before, and then you came along and replaced the other guy who got too busy, and we're making jokes and going off topic, right? That's what we do.
Happy fifth anniversary to us, guys.
Sure. Woohoo. And here's who else they have really quick. They got, finally pulled up here. The depth chart. Anything important here? Let's see. Nothing special. Linebackers look to be a strength of the team. Next, Hawaii's going to win. Outright victory, I'm calling it.
All right. I was giving myself a high five for you.
Thank you. Next is the Friday game, the game of the week.
Bum, 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 bum.
Peterson, back to the blue. I'm assuming that's a theme song for Boise State, the fight song.
You feel free to like mute me anytime.
Apparently I muted myself so nobody heard that. I started talking and I was gonna say, like, if you could do that softer, I would talk over you as you do that. But is that the Boise State fight song?
That is the Boise State fight song.
So let's get to it. We only have one question on Twitter, because did you hear the uniform combination for this game?
Is it blue on blue?
Of course it is. What else would it be?
It's going to be fantastic. And that means it's probably going to be a blue out at the stadium, right?
I don't know about that, but you'd think so. So this is a pretty big deal. Even though Boise's, what, a 11-point favorite in this game, they should easily get the victory, in my opinion. Shouldn't be any issue with them not winning. But
what's your first impression when Coach Peterson walks on the field for, not during the warm-ups, but actually during the game? Will there be a boo or a round of applause? What do you think will happen when they run up the tunnel?
I really think there's going to be a mix.
What do you think there should be, though? Standing ovation?
I think there should be a warm applause. Here's the reason why. Think about what Peterson took that team to. Boise State has always had a winning tradition, but he took them to two Fiesta Bowls. He took them basically out of just being in the WAC and dominating the WAC, but he had them start to dominate on a larger scale. The only year that was the exception was really his last year before he went to Washington, and I think it's because he gave his offensive coordinator then and his now still offensive coordinator just way too much power. And for a system that really doesn't rely on traditional things that Boise State's known for.
That's true. Yeah. Cause that was the year when they first played Washington the first game on Fox Sports 1 or something, where
that wasn't the first year they played Washington. They first played Washington in 2007, which they also lost.
I meant most recently, I should say, with the OC getting too much power.
Yeah.
Because they kept switching OC year after year. They kept losing guys. That was the year it's like, let's not do any motion. Let's just sit in two wide receiver set, tight end and two backs, and get crushed.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think he should receive a warm applause.
Me too.
Whether he will or not, that's yet to be seen. But I think there's the bitterness should have simmered. Remember, Peterson going to Washington was not really a reason for money, even though he got a lot of money for it. He turned down potentially $8 million at UCLA. He turned down money at USC when they were going to originally hire him. Yeah, he turned down Tennessee as well. Washington just, for him, seemed like the most logical place to build a program and get better.
The question, it's a place small, but you're still isolated because he's not a guy who'd want to be in, you go to USC, be in the spotlight. So he still goes to a big conference and a team that's won historically and won big, but yet he still doesn't have to worry about being, you know what I mean, hanging out in the media all the time or getting pressed by TMZ and all that stuff in Southern California.
Oh, yeah. The biggest issue with Peterson is, and this is the biggest issue with Washington fans, because they have that 1990 national championship win under Don James, because they just destroyed under Don James, these fans are still living those years.
So they're like BYU fans, right? 1984?
What?
It's like BYU fans from 1984, right? Same type of
deal. Yeah, except a little bit even more so.
More so? Interesting.
That's why Sark really essentially left Washington. If he had stayed there another year and gotten another seven wins, he would have been canned.
Possibly. They have high expectations there.
It's high expectations, but it's unusually high expectations for that program, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they had a stretch where they were top 10 in the late 80s, early 90s. And this kind
of let's talk about the game though, right? So Ryan Finley's starting.
However,
good.
There could be a rip inside in this game too, perhaps.
There definitely could be a rip inside, but that would not be out of the normal for any Boise State team. But like I said, Finley looked clear cut still the best quarterback for Boise State. He was named the starter for a reason. They shouldn't have any problem. Right, you have Shane Williams Rhodes. You have
McNichols running the ball.
McWeapon, yep, absolutely. This team has a lot of questions on main offense. I think Finley's going to answer them. I think the running back situation—they're just going to burn through three or four different running backs, and whoever does the best. And once again, this is traditional Boise State stuff. They might have a starter named on running back, but it doesn't mean that. Three guys aren't going to get the carry. They're all going to get the carry.
It's especially, I think Jeremy McNichols is the perfect guy from the half for the offense they've had before, because he may, like you said, he might technically be the starting running back, but he'll play wide receiver. He'll be the guy in motion. He'll play the slot, or probably it'll be Kelsey Young, I think, being the starting running back. Just because. Yeah,
and think about Boise State's offense, how much they rely on dumping the ball off to the running back.
Well, doing jet sweeps and arounds, that's where McNichols will come in, being technically a running back.
Yeah. With Washington lost way too many weapons. Nobody is expecting him to win, and nor should they. I mean, this is a team that lost how many? Five or six defensive players to the NFL last year.
Yeah, and they weren't very good last year with those guys either.
No. I think there was a lot of team chemistry issues, but
Shaq Barrett, who was one of the best defensive players in the country, and nothing.
So, you know.
Also, Washington, well, Coach Pete does have a starter name, he said, but it's not official. It could be Jeff Lindquist, and we know the Carter Samuels name. It's KJ Carter Samuels, the brother of former Wyoming quarterback, Austin Carter Samuels, or Jake Browning. Most people are assuming it's Jeff Lindquist, but quarterback's an issue. They don't have a returning quarterback. They lose, like we said, they lose half their defense. Their running back situation's not settled in. It could be Dwayne Washington or LaVon Coleman. Neither anything. They're okay, but they had here's a good stat from our guys at UWDogPound.com. Last year there was a total of six different Washington players. Or hold on, let me reread this. This isn't written pretty well. Last year, there was a total of six carry difference between the starter Washington. Washington's 132 and Coleman's 138. So they're probably going to play both guys. There's not going to be a main guy running the ball, essentially. If that helps out at all.
No, absolutely.
They're just rebuilding.
The 11-point spread.
That's where the question comes in. So I'm confident they'll win. I don't think there's many players. There's a handful of players. Like there's some, I was reading stuff on Twitter. They had a press conference today. A few players were like, they felt like somebody, not in a bad way, like somebody passed away that one to note when Peterson said he's leaving. It's been 2 years. So there's a handful of guys on the team who are recruited by Coach Peterson. I don't think there's going to be a huge deal about, oh, look who's back and have it be a big deal. I think Brian Harsin will get them ready to play. 11 points at home. Here's the thing. They don't lose at home. They always win big games at home. And this, while it's technically a big game, Washington's going to struggle to make a bowl game.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go just by a little, but I think they can win by two touchdowns.
I think it's going to be a solid two touchdown, 14-point win. Absolutely.
I don't think it'll be a blowout, but it'll probably be one of those games where they're up by 10. You know what I mean? Where kind of Washington kind of gets close, but not really close. Or where there's always a threat, but they're comfortable ahead where nothing's going to happen. I kind of think how that's going to go.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
All right, now let's get to our Saturday games, which are more FCS games except for one. So this is exciting schedule slate games we have going on. The first game is on Saturday. Let's see. They're all afternoon games, so that's good. They're not really – they're kind of bunched, but not really. We got Morgan State at Air Force. All I want to see – I don't want to take more than 3 minutes on this game, if that.
That's fine.
I want to see what Nate Romine can do throwing the ball. Or not throwing the ball, but running the offense. We've seen him start. I just wanted to kind of see what he does. Jacoby Owens, he's fully healthy from his ankle. And then the main thing is defense. We know what Alex Hansel will do. We know what Weston Stillhammer will do. But they return only four starters. So they have seven returning starters. I will kind of want to see the defense that they can shut down Morgan State. But they should run away in this game.
My big question is the first one is yours. I want to see Nate Romine run the offense.
We're running the ball because we know we could throw.
Exactly. I want to see that triple option work to perfection. This team still doesn't have a lot of teams believing in them because even though they went 10-2 last year, and myself included.
And be Boise.
It's kind of like if people are thinking it's kind of a fluke even though nobody wants to play them.
They're tough, but it's a big win. I
want to make a huge statement.
We'll see. Next game, Savannah State, Colorado State. Another game I want to see just because, and I believe all these games are streaming. I don't have it in front of me. I'm on the college.
Hold on, I'll be right back real quick.
Okay.
Just go ahead, talk.
Oh, okay. Froy, really? Okay. Next game. I'll let Chris not talk about this game at all. Savannah State at Colorado State streaming. It's 2 p.m. Mountain time. I'm assuming Mountain and the go either to Campus Insider or the MW.com. We'll have everything posted where the games are at and all that good stuff, but I know it's not on TV.
Here, cheers. Cheers, Jeremy. Hello? Oh, damn it. Did I lose you? Hello?
Hollywood Higgins, who's going to be up for the Blitnikoff at some point, you would think on the air. But that's all I want to see. They should win big. There's no spread in the game. We're going to see Mike Bobo, how he does handling his first head coaching job. They should win big, and that's all there's needed to be said about that game.
But for Colorado State, Savannah State?
Yeah.
Yes.
What can Nick Stevens do?
Savannah State's kind of like, hit-and-miss FCS team. So, yeah, there shouldn't be any reason why Colorado State just doesn't dominate. And for all the old Georgia fans, I really, really, really want to see Mike Bobo run the dang ball.
But get Rashard Higgins, man. Give him Nick Stevens, Higgins, come on.
Doesn't matter.
We'll see. Next game, North Dakota, Wyoming. Wyoming better win, right? By a lot of points. Is that what we got for this one?
Wyoming better win, but Craig Bull has to get his offense going. It cannot be like last year.
He has a new quarterback from Indiana, Cam Kaufman.
Yes.
There's so many good running backs in this conference. It's gonna. Usually we know the Mountain West, it's like to throw the ball, sling it around, but that's changed since David Fackrell left. You had Derek Carr leaving. All Chucky Keaton when he went 2013 version at least.
Boyce, sorry, you mean David Fails?
Oh, sorry, David Fails. Yeah, who did I say?
You said David Fackrell.
Oh, no.
Like, that missing Fackrell brother.
Sorry. Yeah, David, from San Jose State. And then even Ryan Lindley back at San Diego State. This is becoming more of a – it's still people do that, but there are so many good running backs in this conference. Brian Hill, Sean Wick might be the number one duo possibly in the conference.
Yeah, it's definitely not Donnell Pumphrey, whoever else is starting next to
him. Chase Price is pretty solid – or Young, excuse me. He's pretty good, but as for the
But it's not Sean Wick, Brian Hill. I mean,
well, correct. Yes,
Humphrey is easily both the better of those players, but Young is not nearly as good as either one of those players.
Correct. Yeah.
This is easily the best 1-2 punch that you're going to see, and it reminds me a lot of, Doug Martin and Doug Martin's counterpart. When Boise State used to play, they used to have like a big running back to kind of barrel everybody down. And then they used to have like a skinny guy just speed all around him.
Actually, I'll check that. New Mexico has my best running tech, I would say. But
Jarrell Presley and Caruso Gongwe.
Well, Taj Gibson as well, but he's missing.
Taj Gibson.
Well, but he's missing the first two games, but we'll get to that later. I just want to see the offense click, see how it goes, and it should be like these games. There's not much to see. They're going to win. The conference is going to have a big first weekend. I just want to see how I want to see the offense run. I mean, especially the passing game with Cam throwing the ball, coming in from Indiana, and their defense, which is hit or miss. They should win by 2 touchdowns at least. So the next game, Mississippi Valley State at New Mexico. This honestly should be a blowout victory for New Mexico, which they have not seen in years.
Missouri Valley State is horrible.
They play in the SWAC.
Yep.
I believe, and that's one of the HBCU schools.
They are historical black college years.
And outside of Grambling years ago with the Robinson there, and then like Jerry Rice or Steve McNair, there haven't been very many good players, let alone teams, out of those conferences. So
the question is, how many yards will Jarrell Presley rush for?
Well, tell me how many carries he'll get first. We'll see, because he's not playing much in this game.
I'm going to say he's going to get about 200 yards. Now, the better question is, how many yards is Lamar Jordan going to throw for?
That's
over under on 100.
He'll go 150.
He'll go 150. Oh!
Well, you do recall, New Mexico brought in about 4 or 5, at least, wide receivers, either JUCO or from their signing class.
I do not recall, but thank you for telling me that.
And then they also are going to, with Bob Davey there, Football Bob, running the show there, they were pretty quick moving the ball last year. They're going to go even faster this year. So they really want to go like, look, think of Montana. I honestly equate this. If you watch Montana, that's kind of what New Mexico can do a little bit on kind of. New Mexico's not going to throw as much, but the speed of the game, the type of quick passes I expect New Mexico to do, but more importantly, like the type of running game they'll do, is Montana's running attack is similar to New Mexico's offense to some extent, and the speed. So if you watch that game this past weekend,
hashtag stit happens for
why not?
But it's Davey happens. It's Football Bob.
That's what it is. It's Football Bob. It's nothing else. It's Football Bob. But like I said before, Taj Gibson's out for the first. I wish I had in front of me. My computer is going lovely speed at the moment. I think he said he's out one. I think he's out 2 games. Nope, not New Mexico fast. Here it goes. But not that. He'll be out at least, I think, the first 2 games. But here's what I want to see as well. Good news out of Dakota Cox, the linebacker who could be possibly the top 5 defenders in the conference. He's reportedly at full strength. So if he, as we said, you and me said earlier in the year, if their defense is just average, this team will do something. They may pull off some upset, beating Utah State or beating Boise State like they almost did last year. There could be some upset for them if their offense is
not talk crazy.
Well, hey, I still claim if Jarrell Presley didn't get hurt, they would have beat Boise State last year. Come on. Those
are dangerous words.
I
see it. Yeah, I get it.
But if it's their defense, you would be upset. If their defense is anything okay, they're going to do something pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if Dakota Cox is where they say he is, then there we go. Next game, it's on TV. Actual TV, CBS Sports Network. That's considered TV, right? Real TV?
I paid extra money so I could get CBS Sports Network.
Yeah, I got to upgrade my $6 to DirecTV in a couple days to get that back. But also I get FXX that balances out to watch some fun comedies like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So that's beneficial for me. So people who complain about it costing
this
so much.
This moment of random nonsense is brought to you by FXX.
Yeah, so for those who complain about paying a couple bucks to get CBS Sports Network, suck it up and get it for a few months. Come on. UNLV at NLU, it's a – is it 16 points?
Wait, we haven't talked about USD SDSU yet.
That's – I'm going in chronological order.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize this game was starting earlier than USD SDSU.
True, yeah. This one's 5:30 Mountain, 7:30 Eastern at DeKalb, Northern Illinois. Or Illinois, I should say. There's no Northern Illinois State. But here's the thing about NIU. This is not the same NIU team that we've seen over the past couple of years.
Yes, indeed. This team is picked third in the division. Not even in the conference. Third in the division, theoretically, behind Western Michigan and Toledo.
Here's what I'm seeing. Yeah, the media picked them third. I'm looking at preseason.stacian.com. They combine Athlon and Lindley – TSN, Harris Poll, Phil Steele, 15 polls. They actually have Northern Illinois as the champion at, and lowers the better, 35.5 to Toledo's 37.5. And then if you look at the Hustle Belt, they did their staff poll, NIU second overall with three first place votes behind Toledo. So it's still a good team, but it's not like with Jordan Lynch or even before where they were always considered the champion for their division within the MAC. Because I heard somewhere else, they've had a couple of new head coaches the past few years. I believe they have a conference home win, or conference winning percentage of like 91% over the past 5 years. Something just absurd.
Yeah, they've had a pretty damn good winning.
So what do we see? Because we know NIU is going to be a solid game. They're obviously the favorite by two touchdowns or something.
21 points now.
It's 21 now? No, it's not 21. Is it 16, I thought?
No. It started at 16. It's up to 21 now.
Oh, that's right. Correct. Yeah, that's what because I put out our early betting lines today. And I got it. If we're going just by the spread, I don't see how UNLV should not cover this game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, see, NIU last year came to UNLV and they won by 14.
Yeah. You were at that game, weren't you?
I was at that game.
Well, you and five friends, right?
Me.
Or two friends and three people you knew, right? Or three people.
One of those friends were NIU fans. They were really, really like pigmented and skin wise.
Okay.
Let's just put it this way, out in the Vegas sun, they were going like
their toast.
Northern Illinois red.
So with Tony Sanchez, what do you want to see? Because Blake Decker is the quarterback, Devontae Boyd, and then that's about all they have, right?
Well, they've got a solid defensive linebacking core. You got Sonny Sonatoa returning. You've got Penny Vea. You've got another another couple guys coming in. I really want to see consistency of offense. Not even that. I don't know what to expect out of this UNLV team. I'll be honest.
Did you ever watch Bishop Gorman, what they did offensively at all? Are you familiar?
Let's just put it this way. Bishop Gorman is 500 feet from my house in Vegas.
You still didn't answer my question. Did you watch them play at all?
Yes, I did.
Okay, just making sure. Because you can say that statement, we could just drop it, and people assume he saw every game, but I want to go one step further to clarify that answer.
Yeah, I saw a couple games. But
so what do they do? I should look into it. Are they more...
Believe it or not, they are more of a pro-style offense.
Okay, that'll work good UNLV has.
Very, very balanced. They have a lot of passing, but also a lot of rushing. Their defense, I would say, their strengths are more along the linebackers than they are on the safeties.
Okay. Here's the thing about NIU. This team last year they had was their worst team in like five. So how does that peg UNLV for playing them when it's a better team that's already confident in winning? And that's where I don't think UNLV will win, but 21 points is way too many, and they should be fine. But here's the thing. NIU struggling for quarterback. Drew Harris – well, not I shouldn't say struggling. He had 18 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, but he's no Jordan Lynch, I guess. But he got sacked over about almost 2 times a game. So the offensive line
– He got sacked, if I remember correctly, 3 times the UNLV game.
possibly 16 overall, so just over one a game, one plus. So, and even when they put in their backup, they had Anthony Matty play last year. Basically, the offensive line, 30 total sacks last year, which is almost three a game, which is over three a game, and that's not very good. And so if you think that linebacking core is that good for the Rebels, that could be an area where get a cheap fumble, a short field, stop him on third and long, make a punt instead of a field goal. That could be the difference, but UNLV's defense, when's the last time you're confident or wanting to bet the win on them doing that to help out the Rebels?
I don't know, but I'll tell you at least about Boyd. There was an article published a couple days ago by Mark Anderson. He's beefed up. He's gained 10 pounds. He's trying to gain another 10.
They just need to chuck him the ball. Just give him the ball as much as possible. Blake Decker.
That's literally all you have to do.
I still don't get how last year's offense wasn't any better. You had Devontae Davis, who was him and Delvonte Boyd, who were basically the same. You know what I mean? They're just as good as each other. And they even had Marcus Sullivan, who was a good third receiver, and the offense still couldn't do anything. So I was so frustrated last year when they had a very good receiving set, but couldn't get anything done.
Yeah, absolutely. I really want this to be the stupid upset pick. Like, I already know they're going to cover. 21 points is too much, but I
have a quick
I want UNLV to make a statement.
I would love to. I just don't think they can. I think they'll keep it close, but they're not going to get the win.
I'm with you. Yeah, I think I'm with you on that.
Really quick, how tall is Devontae Boyd? Do you have that in front of you?
6'1".
Here's the height of the Northern Illinois secondary. Marlon Moore, 5'9", 195. Paris Logan, cornerback. This is the cornerback, Paris Logan. 5'9", 189. However, he did get 15 pass breakups last year. And then you have...
physically bigger than...
Yeah, so I mean, Brandon Mays. Here's what I'm getting at. 5'11", 5'8". They have two guys that are 6'1". But they didn't play much last year, so Davis will have the reach on anybody on the field by quite a bit. Their tallest defensive back is 6'1", and he's only 200 pounds.
Okay, I'm going to make – it's not – this game is not going to be my stupid upset pick. I don't think – I think they're only going to lose by one touchdown. But here's the bold prediction. Blake Decker throws for 350 yards.
Whew.
Devontae Boyd catches for 200 of those yards.
That is quite bold.
When you're sizing up that much bigger than the other receivers.
And Decker has experience too. He started quite a bit, so it's not like a newbie throwing him the ball.
Yeah.
Next game, San Diego State. Hand off the ball, Donald Pumphrey. 25 times, head to the locker room and go home, right? Is that all we got?
Yeah, this is our final game of the game. It should be.
Even though it's not Maxwell Smith, the official starting quarterback, it's going to be Maxwell Smith starting for the Aztecs.
Yeah.
It has to be. That's the only person we've seen Nick Bowden. He's been out of the race for months, and he started a couple games last year. It's got to be Max Smith. Everybody says it is. Except for Rocky Log. And we've already gone quite a long way. So you say they're going to win. They're going to win by quite a bit. That's at 6 p.m. Mountain, 5 Pacific. Check Campus Insiders or the Mountain West Network. These are all streaming games, most of them. So check that out. But let's get to the fun stuff. We've gone for quite a while, and we'll do that with 12 games here. So hang tight with us, folks.
Yeah, these podcasts get shorter as non-conference.
Play ends, yes. So one of our good guys on the website, he does some fan posts every now and then, frequent commenter. I don't want to mistake this, but he's a UNLV fan, correct?
He is indeed a UNLV fan.
TMSTFFRD.
Yep.
No vowels in there to make it easy on us, but I think he's done this the past couple of years. We got about 44 comments right now. So check it out. It's on the front page. It's the most popular fan post on the right side and probably the most recent. And he goes through a handful of predictions here, like fill these out. So I guess we'll go through all these really quick just because we've already gone about an hour and I got to wake up early in the morning, so let's kind of go quick on these. We've already went through some of these, but championship game.
Instead of just going through the commenters, I think we should just talk about
Our picks, I mean. That's what I mean. So title game, we already discussed this. I have Boise versus San Diego State. And I assume you're the same, correct?
Yes.
And Boise's should be winning, correct?
Yes.
Okay. See, I do like Boise State people.
Yes, but you won't sing the fight song like I would.
I don't know the fight song. I don't even know the University of Utah fight song, except that they changed it last year and were pissed about it.
Really? It's not da 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 da.
Well, I mean, I don't know the words to it. Yes, that's the fight song.
Yeah, I was just singing Helmet, at least.
They changed the part where it's like, instead of saying like a Utah man am I, they changed it because it's not gender inclusive. So, yeah, moving on. Playoff major bowl picture. Honestly, there's only two options here. It's a Peach Bowl or a Fiesta Bowl because the way the bowl
would be Fiesta Bowl.
It's probably not going to be Fiesta Bowl. So those are the two bowls they can go to because the only way they would go to, say.
The Fiesta Bowl is part of the playoff this year, I believe.
No, it's not.
It's not?
No. It's the. I don't know what it is, but I know it's not because I've looked into it. The only. Because it's. The Rose Bowl is not in the playoffs, so they're going to take their top Big Ten, Pac-10, or Pac-12 team. The only way they'll get into, say, the Orange Bowl or the Sugar Bowl, I think it's the Cotton Bowl, and I think Orange Bowl is what it is or something. But essentially what it is, there's only two bowl spots because there's still the stupid bowl tie-in. So the Rose Bowl will take Big 12, Big 10, Pac-12, the best team, unless somehow the Big 10, say they get two teams in the playoff. I highly doubt – I don't want to put words in their mouth, but I'm highly doubting they would take the number 3 Big 10 team. But I wouldn't put it over them to do that.
Look, so here's the thing. There's an actual stipulation in terms of the big money bowls. They wrote that in along with the playoffs that the same team cannot make the – was it a group – it was something along the lines of like the group of 5 champion cannot play in the same bowl game.
I haven't heard of that. We'll look into it. I'm not too familiar with that. I'm not sure if that was the case, but it wouldn't surprise me.
So then if that's the case, then that means Boise State's got to go to the Peach Bowl.
That's probably where they're going anyway. So I don't know who they'll play, but if they play, they probably play a ACC team or probably an SEC team. They'd probably play SEC number 2 or SEC number 3. So this could be Boise State versus, if you're believing what the prognosticators are saying, maybe Tennessee, maybe Texas A&M. Obviously, Alabama, Auburn in the mix if they kind of dip a little bit. So it could be an SEC matchup, which seems likely. And that would be pretty good.
Yeah. Although, you know, facing Clemson would not be a bad idea either.
Sure. We'll see. The ACC, that's a possibility. Because I think it's just at large. It's no tie-in. But likely, sell tickets and that stuff still in play. It's not. They're not going to send – let's just say Texas Tech is really – they're not going to put Texas Tech and Boise State in that game, I don't think.
Yeah.
So, Coach of the Year. Oh, geez. Can I just say Brian Harsin? Is that okay?
Okay, that would be an easy pick.
No, I'm going Bob Davey because New Mexico's going bowling. So, I'm going Bob Davey.
I'm going Norm Chow.
I was about to go Norm Chow, too. That's a good one. But here's the thing. The way the media picks for the polls, they always pick, like, whoever's going to have the best season, like, last year, wasn't it Jim McElwain won it, which deservedly so. It's always going to be a coach. I thought it probably should have been Troy Calhoun last year, but it's going to be a team in the title game, so it's probably going to be Rocky Long or Brian Harsin, or if somehow there's a weird upset gets in there. But I agree with you. Hawaii or New Mexico, if they go bowling, they should get Coach of the Year consideration.
Yeah, absolutely.
Heisman prediction? Nobody?
No. But let's say if Chucky Keaton's at full health, let's say he gets an invite.
That's at Greek Padre who said that. Noted Chucky Keaton lover there.
Let's just go ahead and put the hashtag on my Twitter, Chucky.
For Heisman?
Keaton for Heisman, yeah.
There you go. Thank you. I would like to say Donald Pumphrey, but Aztec's got to be really good. He's going to be the best. Well, people are going to – Rams fans are going to hate not seeing Rashard Higgins. Wide receiver is just so tough to get there. You have to return kicks or just be amazing. If I'm going to pick a guy, I'm going to go Donald Pumphrey.
What were you saying? Mountain West Player of the Year?
No. Heisman prediction, Pumphrey. But Player of the Year, I've already made it clear I like Donald Pumphrey.
I'm going to go Let's think outside of the box here. I'm going to go
So what do you criteriaize for Player of the Year?
What's best, the player who performed the best.
Okay.
Made a severe impact on their team. Without them, they would not win or lose as many games as they did.
Well, if that's the case, I'd go probably Jarrell Presley in New Mexico.
That's what I was thinking is Jarrell Presley.
This is coming to the New Mexico show, apparently.
You know what? No, I got a different one.
Who do you got?
Hollywood Higgins.
Okay. He's talented. It still depends on the quarterback situation to me, because wide receiver has little bearing over stats, essentially. But he's probably my best NFL prospect, I would say for sure. Well, him or Kyle Fackrell probably, but. So newcomer of the year, I'd have to look in this more further. Can I just make it simple and say Kelsey Young, because I know he's a newcomer from Stanford?
You weren't going to go Max Whittick? Because I was going to go Max
Whittick. Oh, we got Max Whittick too. Yeah, that's – oh, that doesn't.
Somebody in the comments put Tony Sanchez.
Bonus points to you, sir. Max Whittick's pretty good. I'm trying to think of top – actually, no, I will – I'll go with a different Max. I'll go with Max – there's quite a few. You got Max Smith at San Diego State. You got Cam Kaufman at Wyoming. I'm going to go Maxwell Smith at San Diego State for some reason. Just because.
Parker just tweeted me, stop it.
Did you actually put that? Did you tweet that out or put it in your heading or whatever, your profile?
No, I tweeted it out.
Excellent. Surprise team. Can I go to Mexico again, I guess? Is that a surprise for us at this point?
Wait, no. You have to go with your team first before surprise team.
I don't have a team in the conference.
Oh, right. I forgot.
University of Utah. No, well, I should have been doing all these years. I should pick one team this year and just be overly homerism on certain things I write about them. Because that reminds me of, I listened to this show, NFL Rants and Raves, and one of the co-hosts would always, he didn't have an allegiance to a team because he was a Rams fan. They left to St. Louis. So he'd always pick a random team just because, like, he bought a jersey, they're on sale at Dick's Sporting Good. And every year when he picked that team just did awful. So it was like a running joke about, hope he doesn't pick your team. I'll go to New Mexico as my team this year. I'm saying a lot of New Mexico stuff, but I probably shouldn't. No, I don't. Whatever. I don't have a team. I'll stick with that. Everybody knows I'm a University of Utah guy. I do like Boise State, like Utah State, but Lobo. If I'm gonna pick one team this year, I would go with the Lobos, but I don't have a team. What's this sideshow you're doing now on Twitter?
I just got a tweet back after Parker told me to stop it. One of our frequent Twitter. People who always talk to us at Intermountain Sports said Nick Vigil.
Yes. For Heisman. There you go. So who's your team's Boise State? We know that. So
and UNLV.
Moving up,
two of them.
What about San Diego State now?
Did I go to school at San Diego State?
You live nearby.
doesn't count. If I did not take enough classes that could be considered an alma mater, they are not my team.
That's an excellent answer. All right. Dark horse.
So my team, Boise State's going undefeated. UNLV, I said I was going 4-8.
For dark horse?
No, for it says your team. Remember?
Your team. Surprise team. Already said New Mexico. You got Hawaii, right?
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. If New Mexico makes a bowl game, is that really a surprise?
Yes. National, outside of people who know this team the past couple years, it's going to be a surprise because people still equate them to Mike Locksley, New Mexico, being just terrible.
I'm going to go ahead and say
we've got 90 minutes almost, pal.
I'm going to say UNLV.
Okay.
I think they're going to go, like I said, the four wins, I think it's going to be a surprise. So, Dark Horse.
That was Dark Horse. Oh, well, Dark Horse to win the title. No, yeah, Dark Horse. So, Dark Horse, I'm assuming Dark Horse to win the conference title.
Yes.
I'm going to go San Diego State. Is that a Dark Horse? Is there anybody West Division?
Yeah, I think that's a, well, if we're talking about conference championship games, yes.
I think anybody from the West is a dark horse for anything that could be considered. I'm going San Diego State because defense is always solid. Running game is top notch. And if Max Smith is just okay, they're going to be really tough to beat. So I'm going to go San Diego State, my dark horse team, to win the conference.
I'm going to go Air Force.
They do go on the road to Boise this year for the first time. You know that, right?
Not for the first time, but yes, they do.
Well, first time in the Mountain West?
No.
Yeah, Boise played at Air Force both times, first 2 years.
No. No, they played – Air Force played in 2011.
They did?
Yes.
Maybe it's when they added teams. That's what it was. That has to be a thing. Because they did play back-to-back at Air Force. So maybe when they added Hawaii to go to 12, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yes, I think that's right.
Upset of the year. That means we need the schedule. Do you have your helmet schedule in front of you?
Yes, I do have my helmet schedule in front of me. What do you need to know?
Should we stick this to conference only games, I'm assuming?
No. I mean, here's what we've been getting for upset of the year. TM Stanford answered Hawaii at Ohio State.
No, sorry, not gonna happen.
Boise losing to Sun Conference opponent. Utah State over Boise State. Nevada over Arizona. San Diego State over Penn State.
I don't think that's that big of an upset if they beat Penn State. It would be, but I don't think it's just a monumental upset. Yeah. So maybe that's my pick, right?
It sounds good.
Wait, who does I need to stick with New Mexico. Who does New Mexico play that I should pick them over?
Arizona State, I think.
Ooh. That's on the road.
Hold on. I'll double check that because
it is. It's a Friday night game on the road. Because I was debating on going there because my brother now lives in Phoenix. And so I was debating to go into that game. But I'm not.
Yeah, sure. At ASU.
Friday night, Fox Sports 1, right?
Yep.
I'll go with it. New Mexico over Arizona State. Future Rose Bowl participant Arizona State.
I'm going to go. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, oh,
let's do ASU.
Bam. Sorry, House of Sparky. We'll talk to you later about that.
The only other thing I can think of is Utah State at Utah. That'd be
pretty big, especially without Hunter Sharp. That'd be tough for them to get the win.
No, but upset of the year, New Mexico at ASU. We'll see how that wild goes for us.
If I'm going conference, my upset of the year, just because it's never happened, would be Utah State over Boise State. Not that I think it will happen, but that would be the upset of the year if it happened.
Okay, that's a good one.
Deciding game, Utah State, Boise State.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just because it's late in the year and all that stuff. Okay, you're fired.
Who's fired?
Mike McIntyre? Or no, excuse me. Well, that can happen. After losing to Hawaii, you're out of here? Sorry. The only here's the coaches that legitimately could be fired. Norm Chow, because the buyout's so low. Ron Carriger, just because he hasn't done a dang thing there. Who did you mention early in the show again? I forget.
Here's my thing. So I think Tim DeRuiter.
Oh, that's right. Tim DeRuiter.
If you're about a 4-8 season like Mike, like that Matt is predicting, I think DeRuiter's canned.
Yeah, I would go DeRuiter over Carriger because this is what year three. They'll give him one more year. The highest percentage would be Ron. It would be Tim DeRuiter.
I think that Chow is out at the end of this year. Not because he's fired, but I think he, just because he's going to retire.
Even if they go to a bowl game or something?
Yeah.
Retire on top?
He might just retire on top, yeah. All I think this is just Chow's last year, period.
Okay. Fumbled season. What their actual description is, which team you think will do worse than is predicted? If we want to go off what their criteria or what?
Well, if I'm expecting Boise State to go undefeated, then wouldn't the fumble season them just be still winning the conference but losing one game?
I guess if that's your expectation, but that's not – I don't think that's realistic.
No, I don't think it's real. I think fumbled season – potential – are we going potential fumbled season?
Yeah.
I still think Fresno State.
You think Fresno State too?
With the or Nevada. Fresno State or Nevada.
Nevada, that's interesting. To do worst, I honestly could say New Mexico again just because we're so saying six wins. No, I would say actually, this pains me to say, but I could maybe for some reason see Utah State have that issue.
I could totally see that.
Because
start out strong and then finish off 8-4.
Because here's the thing. Well, everybody loves Trecky Keaton. He's still not the same guy, and I don't expect him to be. I hope he's improved off of last year from what little he played. Dale Garrettson, if he stayed, probably should have been the starting quarterback over Trecky Keaton. He's gone to Oregon State. They have Kent Hobbs, Kent Meyer, excuse me, who did okay. Hobbs from Oregon came in. They have guys who've played, but the situation at quarterback is not as good as it has been, despite them having players there. Damian Hobbs never played. DJ Nelson's never played. Kent Myers was a true freshman tossed in there. Did well enough, in my opinion, but Kyle Fackrell, ACL, may not be the same. They lose Hunter Sharp for two games. JoJo Natson's gone for the year. The Travis Seatfield's out for the year after the car accident. He's starting defensive lineman. There's a team that I could see possibly not – I'm not saying they'll go 4-8, but – I expect them to for Utah State, honest, I think them going 9 or 10 wins is a possibility. Losing to like Utah, Boise, and maybe Washington or Colorado State. So if they go 8 or less wins, for me that'd be a fumbled season for Utah State.
Makes sense. Okay, so then let's go over expansion. Who's expanding?
Who's getting fatter on this team? Who should we say? That's what you mean by expansion, right? Waistline expansion.
You're an ass.
Not between us two. I meant in general. Just because it's good. Obviously, just BYU. It's all it is. BYU and UTEP are the only teams I would take in. That's all there is to
How
it.
How about this?
Uh-oh, what do you got?
It happens. Montana State is a package.
They don't want to do it, though. That's a problem.
Well, years ago, they didn't want to do it. Who knows now? Now, if we're talking about college football playoff, we're talking about more TV money.
What they don't,
more potential money for a school.
Yeah, it is, but they don't bring.
And both those teams are both of those teams rank in the top 10 in the FCS. It's the next logical jump.
That is, but also Montana State or Montana had a sellout, largest crowd ever, just 26,000.
Still more than Idaho.
I would like to see it, but I don't think they would make it.
Still more than both San Jose State and UNLV.
I know. I understand. I probably not, but the one that makes the most sense and most money would be BYU UTEP.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Those are the only two teams I would accept.
Fair enough.
And kicking out Hawaii is not an option. And somebody put in the comments, have them go to FCS. They can't afford to go to FCS. They either have FBS or no football. That's all there is to it for Hawaii. Just for fun, I'm tired, so I don't know. Just for fun would be Colorado State winning the conference and going to the Fiesta Bowl. There you go. I said it. It is just for fun, right?
Yeah. You know what? I think.
Don't agree with me. Say something else.
No. I saw it in the comments, and I really like it, so I'm going to go with it. Mountain West player takes home the Peisman Trophy.
Oh yeah, the Peisman. We need to watch out for the Peisman, folks. If you don't know what that is, it's a legitimate award. Basically, it's the best fat guy play of the year.
Pretty much. So if there's a fat guy touchdown, it automatically goes in the list of Peisman candidates.
Send it to us. Email it to us. MountainWoodsFootball@gmail.com. Put it in the comments of our open thread. Look out for that. Let's go for another just for fun. Since we both like – I like New Mexico quite a bit. You like Hawaii. What is the one game you could see them upsetting a team this year in conference?
In conference?
So if you're going to pick, I want Hawaii to beat this team, they will beat – this will be an upset.
San Diego State.
Like beating.
They beat
not higher than that. But...
home. Hawaii beats San Diego State at home. New Mexico beats.
Don't they host Utah State?
They do host Utah State. Yeah. New Mexico hosts Utah State.
I think Utah. I think. I know I'm probably going to be wrong, but I think New Mexico could beat either the top three teams of the conference, Air Force, Boise, or Utah State.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, or Colorado State. They host Utah State, Colorado State, and Air Force. Any one of those three teams.
Yep, I will see. I'll go. Man, that Air Force game will be fun to watch. I think I'm going to go on a limb and just for the heck of it, beat Utah State just because that would be them overachieving so much. But I think they could beat any of those three games. But no, actually, no, I'm going to retract Utah State because Utah State always shuts down the triple option, run option attack. So I'm going to go with CSU. New Mexico, just to, even though I just said CSU to the Fiesta Bowl, I'm also countering New Mexico will beat CSU this year.
To which he will say that, you know.
It's just for fun.
New Mexico's going to go like 9-3. All right. So.
This is a long show tonight. We started. It's been 90 minutes at least. I'm tired.
Yeah, it's but well, you know, it's your fault we started late. So
it is my fault. An hour late. Had to watch Star Wars with the little ones, so it's exciting. Anything else we need to add about the show? Anything about the season?
I do not think so.
I think we're good to go. So our plan is really quick. We'll have a ton of content. We'll have previews, recaps, of course, depth chart videos. I will post some random stuff every week about the conference in general. Our plan for the show, probably Wednesday, Sunday schedule. Hopefully, we'll try to trim it to about an hour because I know once it gets above 80 minutes, it's kind of tough to listen to sometimes, either because you don't have time, you get sick of us, or we kind of go crazy after 80 minutes, I think.
Yeah, probably about right.
Oh, and look for the underdog poll tomorrow.
Yes, underdog poll should be coming out tomorrow.
If I'm going to do a prediction, Boise State won. I think people are overly hyping BYU, so it'll either be BYU Cincinnati number two. That'll be my, I forget who I voted for, but it's a while ago, but it's probably gonna be some combination after Boise, Cincinnati, BYU, maybe Utah State, some combination for
you know, unless players. Something happened with the last two votes, Brian told me something very interesting, which I expect to see in the poll tomorrow.
Georgia State, pretty high.
No. No, it's something about Boise State.
Okay, this will come out after that. I can wait. Would you like to say it now?
Oh, so Brian was telling me he was showing me statistics. I think every single person, every single member of the 25-member poll voted Boise State as one.
As it should be, unanimous. That makes sense.
Well, but see, that thing never happens unanimously. You know this as well.
Look at last year with the who was it kept getting. Even in our poll, people were pissed that I kept being CSU number one forever. There was at some point somebody picking Utah State or Boise after a while, but we only had out of all the weeks it took for so long for CSU to lose, after about, I think, 3 weeks after they beat Boise, there was other votes coming in there outside of CSU for number one. And in this poll last year, the underdog poll, it was Boise for a while, but... even when BYU was 4-0 and doing well, they weren't getting all the first place votes.
No, they weren't. So
that'll be, if they're unanimous, that will be quite the feat.
Yeah.
And this is a group of, this is not just, there's
aren't just Mountain West guys. These are, we have Mountain West voters. We have BYU, at least one BYU voter. We have group of five voters. We have MAC, Underdog Dynasty. We have
Americans.
Sunbelt. I mean, we got people from all over the place. So if Boise State comes out as the unanimous number one,
That is huge.
There's only three voters, me, Chris, and Matt Kennerly for the Mountain West side.
I think Parker got invited.
Oh, he did. He did as well. Okay. Well, that's, we need extra. That's fine. He knows what he's doing there. But that four out of 25, we can't sway the vote that much. So that's what we got for tonight. Check out our show. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker. That's it. Or not Spreaker. Excuse me. That's my other podcast thing. I'm working.
SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes.
Not Blog Talk Radio. Stay away from them as far as you can. Stay away. We should not mention them again. Yeah. Sorry. I think I'm looking at something, thinking those. Yeah. SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher. Comment. Leave us a review, but check us out every probably Sunday, Wednesday. We'll keep it about an hour plus right on there through non-conference season. I'll trim down during league season, but MWCConnection.com. Check us out there, and we'll see you. We'll talk to you again on Sunday after week one is in the books.